With us now, Carol Lawrence, a member of the Church's Safeguarding Review panel. Carol, good morning to you.
Good morning, William.
And we're really glad to have you with us this morning, Carol. But many will, I'm sure, be wondering why the Cardinal's not here, or the lead bishop for safeguarding, or any bishop, and we certainly invited them. Can I just begin by asking, isn't that more evidence in the claims of some of the survivors we've talked to, of the hierarchy burying their heads in the sand?
The caller who was just on 8711 said that until there's such times as this, there's mandatory reporting, that there's proper structures and safeguarding in the church, then that there wouldn't be any degree of confidence. I'm the person who's been really close to the detail as part of the panel of the review to put these things in place and to work on it, far more so than any bishop, which is why I was asked to talk to you this morning.
Well, why do you think they should be confident that this time it will be different rather than simply moving the furniture around in a restructuring?
The safeguarding is a continuous journey of improvement, and certainly over the last 20 years there have been a lot of improvements in the Catholic Church. Every once in a while we stop, we take stock, and we look again at how that improvement can be enhanced, and that's what we've done with the Ian Elliott report. So we've looked at what is needed, what haven't we done well, what could work better, what do we need, what do we hear from survivors that will make a difference in the future to stop safeguarding abuses happening again. And that's what we've done with this. It's a root and branch review. Mm-hmm. Though there is more independent oversight than there has been previously in the setting up with this new standards agency. And the level of accountability that religious organisations in the Catholic Church will be held to is greater.
Well, let me just come to there's two separate points there. One is independence and one is enforcement or compliance. Let's come to independence first. And that really goes to who's on this new agency, the Catholic Safeguarding Standards Agency, and whether it's plumbed in a sense to the hierarchy so that bishops can have an inordinate level of control over it. Who will be on the body?
Well, we don't have a list of names yet. That will be part of the implementation plan. But certainly when we carried out our work to recommend the setting up of the Standards Agency, the intention is to have a small number of bishops and religious leaders on there. After all, it's their organisations that will be served by this agency, or that this agency will serve. Mm-hmm. And the majority of people will be those lay experts who can help with good governance of this standards agency.
But in the organisational chart you've laid out on your website, it's mm-hmm. all pointing upwards to the bishops. They have oversight, ultimately, don't they? They are the bishops.
Well, they are the bishops that run the diocese. Of course, they have oversight.
So when you say that this will be, that there'll be fuller independence, it's not complete independence, is it? The bishops are still driving this.
I wouldn't say they're driving it. I would say they are facilitating it. They're facilitating the independent review, independent body that monitors how they carry out safeguarding in their diocese and in other religious organisations.
How is that different to marking their own homework?
The Standards Agency will be responsible for auditing what happens within dioceses. Mm-hmm. And the intention is that the Standards Agency itself will be independently audited in how it carries out that work.
And will those audits be published in full?
They will indeed. That is the intention, that these audits will be published, no matter what the outcome is, for anybody to see and review. And obviously, it's in the interest of dioceses to comply with the standards and to make sure that actually safeguarding is good, and that's what audits can show.
Thank you for that. Let's come to the other point, Carol, which is enforcement or compliance. Will there be any teeth?
There will. This will have to be done through contractual relationships with the dioceses and religious organisations. And although we don't have the fine detail yet, we've already thought through the fact that there needs to be a process of escalation from small things that can be easily corrected through to, well, actually, this just isn't happening. And ultimately, the standards agency can refer any diocese as a charity to its regulator, the Charity Commission.
And that'll be published as well, publicly, audited.
That will be publicly available as well.
And just finally, do you think the resignation of Cardinal Nicholls would help both the church here and survivors of abuse by signalling that finally he and the church hierarchy gets it? They understand there can be no business as usual, that new leadership needs to oversee the changes that are necessary now.
One of the recommendations from ICSA was that there should be a bishop appointed specifically for safeguarding. And whilst obviously I'm not privy to discussions amongst bishops, I understand that that has been happening, and that bishop will lead the change on safeguarding and to the implementation of these recommendations from the Elliott Report.
What about the cardinal?
I think the cardinal has said he doesn't want to turn his back on the challenges, and he's there in position, able to make this happen.
And you support him there, do you?
I support these changes and what we're doing and the work I've put in over the last 6 months to make this independent review happen.
All right. That was a very careful answer. Thank you very much, Carol. Carol Lawrence, a member of the Church's Safeguarding Review Panel.